Okay, everybody. How you enjoying our spring weather? I heard them talking on the weather news a while ago about the 80s. And that sounded pretty good. I think we're supposed to get there maybe end of the week or weekend. So, I think that'll give the grass that's getting watered a chance to grow fast, won't it? Yeah. Susie and I were talking a while ago about the dogwood trees. We have one in the front of our house that is really pretty this year, and I'm envious of my neighbors across the street back behind us who have a pink one that's really, really pretty. It stayed out forever, so that's good. Here are some announcements before we get started tonight. We'll have our prayer in just a minute. And Tim, do you like to lead prayer? Or would you mind to lead the prayer to start with? And here are some of the people for each of us to keep in mind. I think you saw the notice about Sister Tyndall. Yvonne Tyndall passed away during the eclipse, by the way, the other day. And what a great, great and faithful Christian lady with a lot of wisdom. And we will miss her. But her family is planning a kind of a family and a few of their longtime friends. I don't know, I have the exact time, but it'll be at the family cemetery over at Aurora. So if you guys just remember their family in prayers, and I'll check on them again tomorrow if I don't hear something from them before then. Thursday ladies class is, of course, tomorrow.
No.
Not tomorrow, excuse me.
We'll not
meet tomorrow. Meet again on the 18th, okay. We're hosting the Area Youth Night this Sunday evening after our services, April the 14th. They're planning on serving sandwiches, chips, drinks, and desserts. And if you'd like to help provide some of those foods or other supplies, that'd be great. You can bring bags of chips or canned drinks or bottled water before the 14th if you need to. And then you can send sandwiches or dessert that evening, bring it to evening service, and you can call or text or contact Lauren Brumfield for more information. I'm not going to call off the phone number because I might say it wrong. You guys can ask Sandy about that. There are still some copies of the daily Bible reading schedules for this spring quarter out there. I hope you maybe can benefit some from that. And our elders have asked us to mention they have placed copies of a proposed youth and family minister job description for your review, and they do want to hear from everybody. There are copies on the information desk out there, and you can please check with the elders if you need further info or if you have any comments about that. Remember that there is a baby shower for Brooke Barton. I think that's is it Saturday? Everybody be aware of that. And the Barton family's having all kinds of exciting things happen in their lives right now, so remember Brooke and Adam. Are there any other announcements or prayer, people remembering our prayers tonight, or any other things like that? All right. Brian?
My aunt has been dead. Her name is Audra.
Really. Brian's Aunt Sandra, we want to remember in our prayers, and Brian also. Anybody else? My brother, I'll try to talk to tomorrow again. I haven't talked to him this week yet. So appreciate you asking. I've been telling my other brother story about that, and he has another scan on the 23rd, so that will be an important one for Bobby. Okay. Anyone else? Tim's going to lead our prayer, if you'll bow with us.
Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful to be here tonight to study from your word. We're so thankful for the many blessings you bestow upon each and every one. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you will be with all those in special need, those that have lost loved ones, and Ryan and Sandra. She will be with everybody in special need, Heavenly Father, being a beautiful mother. We pray that you will give us the strength and the wisdom to live our lives in service to you. And we're so very thankful for your son. We have the hope of life everlasting with you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Tim. All right. I've written up on the board here four descriptions. And I know that something is one word. I wanted to actually think about it this way here. Here are the four descriptions. Which one of them is closest to your view of what happens in Christian living? Which one of those is the best description of what you are, what your approach to Christian living is, or what it should be? Either earning something, or taking care of something, or doing nothing, or doing my own thing, or your own thing. Which one is the closest to how you understand Christian living?
The second one,
Ruth says. Second, taking care of something. Were you going to say something else? Anybody? Why would you say that? I agree with you, by
That's
the way.
That's what we do. We take care of the thing.
That have been given to us, right? Is there one word for that action that you can think of from Scripture? One term that describes that?
It's not in Scripture per se, but commission.
All right, commission, that would be a good way. That would be one way of saying it, that we're given something that we're sent with or sent to do. I'm thinking of the word steward. And that's a word that maybe we don't all use in everyday life, but it's a very important concept in the Bible. And usually we think of stewardship in what particular topic? Usually.
Giving.
Usually we think of it in the care of our financial means. And I've noticed that almost every time on the Lord's Day, when our brothers get up and lead us in prayer, when we're engaging in the fellowship of our giving, which is what contribution is, from the same root as communion. It means fellowship or joint participation. And usually, when our brothers lead us in prayer, they will say in some form, "Thank you, Father, for all the blessings you have given us." In other words, it all starts with our having been given something, which we then want to make the best use of. And I notice that often our brothers will also pray for our elders, that they will be good stewards of what we all give together. That's the concept of stewardship. Now, you have this in mind. You know that there are sometimes maybe new Christians or those who are will have the idea that I've got to do enough. I have got to try harder. I've got to measure up. That idea. There, unfortunately, are some who think, well, the Lord has now done it for me, which means I do not need to take any action. It's all finished, and there's no response at all from me that takes place in life. And there's some people who say,
course, that I believe God wants me to be happy, and to me that means I'll do my own thing. I believe those four phrases are four ways of looking at life. Now, with that in mind, let's go to our theme for these weeks, this quarter, which has been by His grace. And I brought with me the titles we've kind of used here. We mentioned that salvation, or deliverance from sin, is by grace. We, of course, described what grace is as best we can first. Remember, grace is being given what you need but do not deserve. All right, receiving what you need but do not deserve. We learn that salvation from sin is by grace, that we now live under grace, that grace is an action in the Christian life. In other words, it continues. That grace trains God's people, that there's a continuous process of growth in grace. And tonight, if I can hang on to my papers, what we want to try to say is just that, in keeping with those phrases we just mentioned, that recipients of grace are stewards. That idea is what we wanted. In other words, people who believe that they have been gifted with something precious then want to be good stewards of what we have been given. Now, I'd like for us to start out in 1 Corinthians with an idea, and it's not in the, maybe not in the chapters that you would think about to the Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 3 to start with. I'll jot them up here so we can remember. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 to start with. And then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 4. I think it's verse 7, but let me check. Yeah, verse 7. And then we're going to draw a conclusion from this, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Now, look, in 1 Corinthians, these early chapters of 1 Corinthians, the whole idea is, all right, how do we who have been redeemed by Christ, how do we function as one in Christ and not be followers of our favorite personalities, so that we end up not with one congregation, but with five congregations in one place, in one building or something? How do we appreciate each other without becoming followers of various schisms? That idea. That's what Paul is about in 1 Corinthians, in this early part of it. Now, in chapter 3 at verse 5, he is discussing this very thing. He said in verse 4, the problem he's addressing, one says, I am of Paul. What does that mean, of Paul?
Follower.
A follower of Paul. I'm devoted to Paul. He's my favorite. And another one, I am of Apollos. Meaning the same thing, only that Paul says, are you not acting like worldly people? My summary. Are you not acting like people who never heard of Christ? And then look at verse 5. Dave, you got verse 5. You might have read it. Okay.
Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but minister to whom you believe, and the Lord gave to each one.
All right, so the idea that of being recipients of grace, I think, is implied at the end of verse 5. Neither Paul nor Apollos have anything, or ever have had, or ever will have anything, but what the Lord gave them.
each, notice the phrase there at the end, and each as the Lord gave to them. All right, now, so the question that's planted on our minds is Paul great, is Apollos great, or is the Lord great to us? Which one is it?
Lord.
It's the one who gave to them what they... So Paul is saying here, I received something from the Lord, Apollos received something from the Lord. We want you to be devoted to the Lord who gave those things to us. Now look at chapter 4 and verse 7. Now then Paul moves to not what you think of us, but what you think of yourselves. Brian, would you read chapter 4, verse 7?
For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it?
All right, so here you are, three people, we'll say, who are each bragging that there's something more than the other one. All right? And Paul's answer to that problem is not to say to each one of them, you're nothing, but to say, you don't have anything that you didn't receive. You shouldn't be glorying against each other. You should be glorying in the one who gave you what you've received, right? Now move to chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And he applies that picture to himself and the Corinthians. Now let me read it here. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ. What are ministers of Christ? Us would be Paul and Apollos and even Cephas. He's mentioned in chapter 3 and verse 22. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ. What does ministers mean?
Servants.
Servants. That's right. Just a word for servants. And stewards of the mysteries of God. What does he mean by stewards of the mysteries of God in this context?
Those Lord's
word. All right. They have been given. Mysteries were something that they could not have known unless God revealed it to them through the Spirit. They had been given God's plans and purposes and His will, and now their obligation was to what? To be
able
to take care of what they've been given, all right, as to function as stewards. Now, what is required of a steward? What is the one thing?
Faithfulness.
It's and here moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. And he goes on to talk about how they were evaluating stewards here, and they tend to overlook the faithful to what? If you are a steward, or faithful to who? If you're a steward, to be found faithful would mean the one who gave you the gift, right? So now then, if I am saying that a recipient of grace is a steward, then to whom is faithfulness required? To the one who gave us His grace, right? So that is the sort of the premise from which we're operating here now tonight. Now, how would that apply? I want to go to a passage that we read before in a different context, a different class. And I told you we'd return to it. And I'd like to do that. I turn to 1 Peter 4. And I even think Larry read this one for us last time. Tonight I want to try to do that. And 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11 especially. Jot it so you can, it's 9 through 11, I'll just put that up here. But we're going to focus on 10 and 11. In this whole context here, Peter is talking about how to conduct yourself in a situation where the moral spiritual environment is not friendly to you.
idea. And he talks about things for us to do, which includes prayer, loving each other, showing hospitality to each other, not without murmuring. And then 10 and 11, this is the American Standard Version. According as each has what? All right, now I want you to notice what Paul is, what Peter is getting at here. Over there in Paul's writing in 1 Corinthians, he said, we don't have anything received we didn't receive. You don't have anything you didn't receive. We all should, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now here, I learned that this does not leave me out. Each has received a gift. Right? You see where that says that? Now, you need to stop and think about that. That would be true, generally speaking, if we were just talking about having received a gift by God's grace, which would include cleansing, forgiveness of our sins, hope, and that kind of thing. Sometimes in Scripture, gift is used with regard to you could call it miraculous spiritual gifts. For example, like healing or speaking in tongues or the ability to prophesy, to teach what the Lord wants. But other times in Scripture, this idea of each having received a gift is said as if it applies to all of us and as if it's not necessarily talking about miraculous gifts. I want to try to offer a definition that I think is usable, which has helped me to think about the non-miraculous spiritual gifts which God, which the Lord gives to every member of his body in some way. Here's a way to think of it. If you think about, in a way, when you are you, just by the fact of having life and being given the abilities and so forth that you have as you. All right, you can think of it that we're all gifted or given certain talents. There are some things that we are good at, that we're cut out for, that we are better at than we are in other things. And there are some things that you're better at naturally than I would be or ever am going to be. When we obey the gospel and when we become Christians, then all the things about us are devoted to God. All the things about us become the Lord's. All the things that we are naturally are the word that we often use is this one, and I use it even though I think sometimes people regard it as a religious word, but consecrated. The idea that now those things, those talents and abilities and so forth are enhanced because they are now set apart to the Lord's service and empowered now by Him for the benefit of whom?
Those we come to contact.
All right, when we each received a gift in this sense, it's for the body, for the whole body of Christ, and it's so that God may be glorified. We're going to read this. But I want you to have this to be watching for as we go along. To me, it helps to simplify. If I know that when I'm talking about each has received a gift, of course it's true. We all have our talents that we didn't earn or achieve. We were blessed with them. We were given them. And if I just think that when I become a Christian, then those talents are consecrated to the Lord and to be used for the body, the whole body, so that the Lord can be glorified, then that helps. All right? It's not in competition with anybody. It's not pressure put on. This is a response to God's grace. Now, back to First Peter 4 now, verse 10. Now it says, ministering it among yourselves, meaning using it to serve along with each other in relating to each other in the body of Christ as what? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Remember, we did a class on the manifold grace of God, the multivariate grace of God. Here now, there are two general ways, or big ways, that this may happen. And please notice, this is, we're kind of trying to break down now the ways in which this might work out. So here is the idea as stewards of God's grace, and what might be the first big field or big category of stewardship of God's grace, how it might be ministered among ourselves. What would be the first big category would be? Let me go back and let me read you so I can. If any man speaks, all right? So this is the first big category of ministering or using or serving by God's grace, or being as a steward of God's grace. Now think of all the ways you can in which speaking might be a way in which you could be practice the stewardship of God's grace. That's going to, I'll be more specific in a minute, but there are a whole bunch of, David?
Let's go back to 3:6-7. I planted, Apollos watered.
Okay.
God gave the increase. All right. So then neither he who plants does anything, nor he who waters, but God has given the increase.
Very good. All right. 1 Corinthians 3:5-6. So and that makes sense, doesn't it? If God gave the grace to start with, then the use of it will be to the credit of God who gave the increase, right? Not from one who sows or waters as if there's competition. But look at, think about this now. If anyone speaks, now the first way would be to speak gracious words that encourage each other, right? From the end of Ephesians 4, if you receive grace, then what you say needs to be kind. And that goes on in everyday life. Have you noticed that some people in your life are better, more effective encouragers to you than others are? You notice that? Have you noticed that some people are more cut out for teaching than others? And don't get me for saying ladies' class and meet tomorrow or something. You know, some are better at the teaching part of it than others are. Some are better at the preaching part of it than others are. Some are better at admonishing. Have you noticed that some people can offer a correction or a warning
better than other people can. Some people can do it in a way that just starts a circle of fighting. Some people can do it in a way where you want to do better. You want to correct what's wrong. There are all kinds of ways in which that might, and if it's teaching, for example, then some can do it with little children. Some can do it with teenagers. Some can help people who are farther along in life. You kind of see that point. Now, if anyone speaks, if he's going to do this as a steward of God's grace, then he will want to speak as one who, as what?
Speaking the very words of God.
As the, I'll use for space here, the oracles of God, the very words of God. What does that mean to you? It needs to be true, doesn't it? What you say, if you speak, and if you're speaking as a steward of God's grace, you want it to be in keeping with the truth of what God has said. You want it to be in keeping with what God teaches. What's the other big category of stewardship of God's grace? If anyone serves or ministers. So to make it start with this, so you can remember, I'll put serves here. But if anyone ministers, if anyone serves in any way, then you think of all the ways that word might happen, where someone might be gifted with the ability to serve. What are some of the ways? There's no limit to it, is there? As long as it is, what does it say here?
Faithful
for sure, as of the strength, what?
God provides.
That God provides. All right? That God supplies. So, in this case here, the idea would be that, all right, our concept of Christian living is stewardship because we've all been given something and we want then to use what we've been given in faithfulness to God, the one who gave it to us. That may be, in this passage, the two big categories. It might involve ways in which we use God's talents and gifts in speaking services of various kinds, or it may be where it happens where we do it in serving. And serving can be, you know, you can think of people who just get things done, people who help people who show compassion to people who give, people who take care of material things, people, all kinds of things like that are involved here. But the key thing is the motive for it. It is stewardship. It is taking care of what God gave us. And then notice that the way it finishes up here, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, whose is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. All right? So here is the role. Here is the two broad categories. The motivation is that God might be glorified, and the power for it is the grace that we were already been given. Now, this is a case where grace does not mean simply the, all right, I received forgiveness, I received mercy toward my sin. This is a case where grace also means the privilege of being involved in the purposes of God and having the ability and the strength in order to do that. So
for the glory of God. All right, so the two big categories, what I want for us to notice first, right? Anybody, any comment about it, this passage here, from that perspective? All right. Everybody received a gift, ministered among yourselves as stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, as oracles of God. If anyone serves, as the strength which God supplies, and do it so that God might be glorified in everything through Christ. That is a good outline of church work, church life. Now, let's take those two big categories and branch out from them a little. Look back to Romans 12. This also was a passage we read part of earlier in the class. Now we'll go back and let's read the rest of it and try to outline it as we go also. Okay? This is Romans 12, and just lay of the land a little bit to start with. Verses 1 and 2 is present your bodies a living sacrifice so you can prove what's acceptable and perfect will of God. 3 and 4 are, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but do think of yourself sensibly, which means don't think too lowly of yourself either. Don't discount what you can do. Any of you guys ever sleep in Grandpa's house when they had a tin roof? For some reason, this reminds me of my grandpa's house, and I'm trying to teach a class in a situation where everybody went to sleep back then, or at least I did. So, you guys are doing remarkably well at it. Come now to Romans 4, Romans 12, verses 4 through 6. I think you'll notice that this takes the same principle and expands on it a little bit. Verse 4 says, for even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. All right? So there's a powerful illustration in this, and for you to understand it, you got to think about your own body. That's the illustration. All the different parts of your body. Your body is not just a hand or a foot. It has, all of these are members of your body. All right? They don't all have the same function, and yet they're all a part of the same body. He says, so we, verse 5, who are many, so in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ, and severally members one of another. Now, and having gifts differing according to what?
Grace.
The grace of God, the grace that was given to us. Now, here the grace has to do, with the gifts or the abilities consecrated to the Lord's service by the fact that we have presented our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now look at, in this passage, there are, what, 7 of these? Let's list them up here. Over in that other passage, some of these were speaking. Remember over in 1 Peter 4? And some of them were ministering or serving. Let's try to see where these might fit here. The first one is prophecy. Now, let me say it this way. In the New Testament, prophecy is a term that applies most, if not all the time, to speaking, to teaching or preaching by the guidance of inspiration. That ends with the apostolic age. That particular miraculous kind of gift The parallel now would be proclaiming what has already been revealed, or our word for it would be what? It would be preaching. So here, I'll use the original word, but you can draw in your mind idea of what we would be talking about here. Now, if I think you notice that he says the same thing that Peter is saying in a different way. If it's prophecy, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, obviously the same word here, right? Some people are especially gifted at getting things done that need to be done in that way. Or he that... All right.
What about teaching?
Teaching. Yes, teaching. Anyone, he says, if it's teaching, then to his teaching. Let's give ourselves, if it's ministry, let's give ourselves to our ministry, to our serving, or if it's teaching, to his teaching, or he that, what's next? All right, exhorts. He that, what's the term for that?
Encourage.
Moses is encouraging, although I think this is a little more powerful word than encouraging is. It means to put your arm around somebody's shoulder and say, come on here, we can do this and we need to do this. And then the next one, Eva. All right, someone gives. That notice that all of these may be things that we all have some part in, but some are especially good at this. Giving, let him do it with liberality, or he who rules. I don't think that ruling is only speaking here. It would mean, how else is that translated?
Leads.
All right, I'll put it that way here. Isn't it interesting that this doesn't come at the top of the list? It is one of the ways of serving as member of the body of Christ. And then the next one is, what is it?
Show mercy.
All right, showing mercy. So how else is that translated? Maybe giving compassion or caring. Okay. Now, some of these, like this one, might fit in either category, but do you notice that they're thought of, all of these are ways of responding to God, or being stewards of God's grace, what he gifts us to have the privilege of doing, and notice the defining things that are down through this passage here. According to the proportion of our faith, or to our ministry, or teaching, or exhorting, or doing it with liberality, or simplicity, or singleness, or doing it with diligence, or doing it with cheerfulness. Those are the defining things, right? Now, if the body of Christ is healthy, then these different functions are going on. And they're going on in the spirit of faith, devotion, single-mindedness, diligence, and cheerfulness. Because the ones who are doing them are doing so as stewards of God's grace, in keeping with the oracles of God, and with the strength which God supplies. Any comment from you guys? Somebody?
Well, sometimes you get frustrated, tired, discouraged, and you keep doing it even when you aren't cheerful about it sometimes.
Yeah. But your aspiration is to do it and to be cheerful about it. The only way to do that over time, I mean, people are not always going to appreciate you. People are not always going to notice. People are not always going to cooperate. They're not always going to do their part. Sometimes they're going to criticize. But your motivation, your power for it is your steward of God's grace, and your motivation is so that God might be glorified. It has to be that way, or just on a human level, you're going to burn out or drop out. There is no way to keep going without regarding yourself as a steward of God's grace. And this is a one of the problems of thinking that, you know, that what you do in the body of Christ is just a job. You're a steward of God's grace. You do what you're cut out to do for His glory. And I think that's important. Several years ago, a brother whose name was Jim Waddell presented a series of lessons in a Harding University lectureship. I don't remember what year it is. I have the book of it. But he did it on this, the concept of how the body of Christ, how the, maybe a New Testament model of a functioning congregation. And he did it partly on the two passages that we've read from Romans and from 1 Peter. And he offered his definitions of these terms. And I thought it might be useful if I would share them with you, and if we look down through it that way. First, prophecy. He said what I said about it. It's in a miraculous sense, as it's often used in the New Testament, it's not present in that same way. He says what prophecy was in the age of the unwritten message of Christ, preaching is today. Preaching is proclaiming truth. The person with this gift finds joy in proclaiming the word so that hearers are convicted, called to account, and so that secrets of their hearts are disclosed. His verses on that are 1 Corinthians 14, verses 24 and 25. Service or serving or ministry, serving the needs of others. That's the key thing, serving the needs of others. The person's motivation is to meet the practical needs of other people. Teaching is clarifying truth that is already known and applying it to the circumstances of life. This person's motivation is to search out. His desire is to search out and to validate truths from the Bible and to help people use them in everyday life. Exhortation here is encouraging, comforting, consoling, or counseling. This person's motivated to stimulate the faith of others in the body. Giving is contributing money or contributing other practical parts of time and so forth, but in particular material things. This person finds joy in entrusting personal assets to others for the furtherance of the ministry of the body. Ruling is giving aid or organizing or watching and helping. This person has the natural ability to coordinate activities of others for the achievement of common goals. This makes you notice that the body of Christ needs all these. Mercy is to have pity or compassion or to show special favor or kindness on those in distress. This person is naturally empathetic and has the ability to comfort those who are in distress. And which one did I leave out here? Did I leave any of them out? Okay, that's all of them. Now, that equips the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12 also both deal with this, but we don't have class time in order to cover all of them tonight. I think 1 Corinthians 12 includes more of some of the miraculous aspects of it, my own viewpoint. But it's interesting the way Romans 12 places this. Romans 12 goes ahead to say, let love be without hypocrisy, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I'm reading in Romans 12, verse 9, now verse 10, right now. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate of one another, in honor, preferring one another, in diligence, not slothful, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Set not your mind on high things, but be carried away with things that are lowly. That's the spirit of it, the organization of it, the ability, the functioning of it. It's more in this way here. Okay. Now, what this does, the effect of this, is to make this stewardship of God's grace specific. Meaning, each of us, in some way, can function in one or more of these ways. We get better at it as we grow. We may have to use things that we're not as good at simply because the congregation needs it right then. But every congregation needs these qualities here or these actions here to be going on, motivated by stewardship of God's grace. All right. First bell, I heard it. Tonight we're going to just stop right there, I think, and I hope that'll be useful in your thinking. Where do you fit in this? And I think it's interesting that it's not decided by what stage we are in life. It's decided by what the Lord did for us first and what we're doing with what He did for us. I think that's a good way to think about it. Anybody else? Any comments you want to make? All right.
It was worth getting out the rain for.
Yeah, well, thank you. I hope somebody brings an umbrella down here and gets you in a minute. Appreciate you guys all coming so much, and thanks for being with us. And
I see we're not just, you don't just fit into one category all the time. It's different from what's happening in the, it's different things that are
able to use. It allows for the real world needs the church, and yet it's so true that all of us know when we think about it, we can think of ways where we are attracted, where we would want to help, where we find more joy in helping with one of those ways. We also know people who are better at some of them than in other ones, you know. I think that's, and the encouragement of it is, don't do it by your own power, and it doesn't all depend on you.
I think you've got excellent teachers.
Yeah. It doesn't all depend on you. That's the thing. Dave, do you mind to lead us in prayer, and then we'll go.
Heavenly Father, we come to you at this time. I'm so thankful, Father, for this time and for life. We come together and study your word, Father, and then be better. Steer us through your word. We're so thankful, Father, for the words you're saying, and I hope that we're going to have you again. Pray at this time, Father, that you would guide, guard, and reconcile with us.
Amen. That didn't sound good, did it? Okay. Thank you guys for being with us.